From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. Agencies like the Forest Service often use contract airplanes to drop fire retardant on wildfires. If resources fall short, though, a specialized team of military personnel can help. And this year, well, it's shaping up to be another extreme fire season. So having this backup may be especially helpful, as the Mountain West News Bureau Madeline Beck reports.
I'm in Boise, Idaho, near the National Interagency Fire Center. We're waiting for a few planes to fly by. One smaller lead plane and a bigger one that'll drop thousands of gallons of water as training for fighting wildfires. The pilots talk over the radio.
Keep the straight turn coming to a downwind.
Copy that. We're with you at 4,000 right now, pulling in behind you.
Their plan is to drop from west to east, and they're going to drop at 150 feet at about 120 knots. 3,000 gallons of water, just obviously a training run.
That last voice is Varun Purohit, a Wyoming Air National Guard pilot. He works with this program called MAFFS, spelled M-A-F-F-S. I'll let him explain.
So MAFFS, what it stands for is Modular Airborne Firefighting System. And it's basically, so we fly C-130 aircraft that are DOD assets, right? Department of Defense C-130s that we can fly anywhere in the world, do low-level flying, airdrop missions, just hauling things from one, you know, point A to point B.
Forest Service officials at the training say that for the last 2 years, all 8 of the MAFFS air tankers were called in to help fight wildfires. Those planes are based in Colorado Springs, Colorado, Cheyenne, Wyoming, Reno, Nevada, and near Oxnard, California. But the annual firefighting training is here in Boise, and the planes will fly wherever they're needed. Lieutenant Colonel Purohit flew in from Cheyenne. He's a MAFFS commander in training, and he likes fighting fires.
This is probably the most difficult mission as far as the actual, no kidding, flying, because we're at high altitudes. It's very hot. You know, the aircraft is, it's you're basically max performing the aircraft. It is a challenge, but I think that's kind of what makes it unique and maybe appealing in some ways.
The challenges include these massive planes dropping low and flying slow through heavy smoke, mountainous terrain, and sometimes high air traffic. Last year, an air tanker pilot from a private company died in northern Colorado while trying to help fight the Kruger Rock fire at night. A few years ago, 2 Idaho pilots died along the Utah-Nevada border fighting another large fire. But Purohit says when he's fighting fires, he gets to see the direct effects of his work.
You're getting to see the no kidding, you know, hey, we just dropped on the edge of the fire. That line held. We helped the guys on the ground do their job.
It's not just pilots coming to train in Boise, though. There are also ground crews and flight engineers, like Chief Master Sergeant Cameron Peters. He came up from Reno, where he's part of the Nevada Air National Guard. He says engineers like him monitor all kinds of systems and make sure checklists are completed.
They're really the conscience of the crew. They bring adult supervision to the flight deck.
And for Peters, wildfire fighting does have its challenges, but has its intrigue, too.
You may show up somewhere where the terrain is very rugged, where the smoke is very thick, and exciting is probably not the word I'd use. I'd use spicy or sporty.
This special MAFFS team is only called when there aren't enough contractors for the Forest Service to tackle big wildfires. If that happens, Peter says this training will make sure they're ready.
This is where we get to knock off the cobwebs, knock off the dust, and make sure that we're able to go out there and execute based on the level that the U.S. Forest Service needs us to do during fire season.
Back on a landing strip, I watch as a small lead plane, leaving some puffs of smoke behind it, is followed by a massive C-130 Hercules air tanker. It drops a curtain of water on a grassy area in front of us. The air tanker is emblazoned with a big number 3, and its home base is back in Wyoming. That is, until it's called to help those in need, like firefighters who could use some backup. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
And Madeline is joining us now to talk more about the MAFFS program. Madeline, good to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
So what was the activity like around this training? I mean, were there a lot of people around? What did it look like?
Yeah, it was definitely pretty busy. They had people flying in from all over. It wasn't even just, you know, aerial crew or just aerial and ground crew that were coming to training. There was also, you know, media people there taking video and chaperoning all of the media professionals. And a lot of those people were from Reno or from other parts of the U.S., including Wyoming, Colorado. And so, yeah, there were people all over. And like I said, we were chaperoned. Basically, so media wouldn't get in the way because there were cables everywhere and the planes coming and going. So, yeah, that's kind of the activity of that training. But we were only there for a little bit of a week long training for these guys.
So, Madeline, what do fire seasons look like for these MAFS crews? And let's compare it to other groups that fly planes during wildfires.
Yeah, so these guys, because they are, you know, a specialty crew that only get called in when other resources aren't available, they come in and they actually are very limited in how much they can help and how long they can help. Usually, if they have to fly somewhere else for a mission, they can only be there for a week. They just do week rotations. And that's for their safety and for others' safety. And for all aerial firefighters, they fly only during the day. We saw, unfortunately, that one incident last year where they tried to have a night flight to fight the Kruger fire in northern Colorado. And that's where, and you know, a firefighter died trying to fly at night, trying to give that aerial assist. So it's very dangerous. So these guys especially are very limited in the time that they go out. So they might not have as strenuous of situations as other contractors may face this year. But when I asked the Forest Service specifically for any information on, you know, how are contracts going this year? Are we going to need backup? What are things looking like with gas prices? Are we going to have to spend a lot more for contracts? You know, they actually didn't get back to me. So I have no idea. Hopefully, you know, the season looks good and everyone's contracted and we have all the supplies we need, but we don't know.
Right. And in some ways, Madeline, we don't know, right, until the fires actually start.
Correct. And I mean, the fact that fires have already started and it looks like the fire in New Mexico may be it is now the largest fire in that state's history. Wildfire. So, I mean, the season is among us. I guess there is no season anymore, just fire years.
It really seems like that. And Madeline, you've done some other reporting on Forest Service firefighters recently. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Forest Service chief, Randy Moore, recently spoke with Congress a little over a week ago. And he said that in a lot of places, you know, overall, they've filled about 90% of firefighter positions. But in some areas, they've filled as low as 50% of positions. That's not good in these certain areas. And it's areas, you know, that are exacerbated by either whether there's local private firefighting crews that might pay better. And it's also exacerbated by these areas where they can't afford housing. I think, Gemma, everything just keeps coming back to housing in the West right now. They basically said that those are some of the areas where it's, you know, you're isolated in these rural Western areas, and also you can't afford housing. These are areas that it's really hard to contract for seasonal labor. That said, they also let me know after the fact that, you know, the agency says it's on track to hire more permanent employees this year than temporary ones, and that would be the first time ever. They've always had more temporary than, you know, permanent positions, and so now that's changing. Again, like we said, because there's no longer fire seasons. There is only fire years.
Mm-hmm. And do we know, Madeline, how Idaho is looking in regards to the seasonal firefighters?
Well, a lot of the outlooks up until now have seen very similar conditions to the last few years. We did recently get a lot of rain, which was great in the last couple days, you know, that spring rain. But it's only great so far as if that actually continued. The other concern is, you know, if we get a ton of early season rain, we have all this lush green brush out there. Well, by late season, all that's going to dry out and it becomes fuel. it's these things where it's like, oh, it's good that we're getting moisture, but bad if the moisture stops. And so if we do end up in similar situations to the last few years, that would put us at a very high risk. And now I say high risk because last year, obviously, Idaho didn't do as bad as it could have. It was under extreme risks. It had really dry fuels out there, but we didn't see as big of wildfires or as much of an impact as we really could have. We got lucky, essentially. And, you know, I will say part of that's thanks to just people. Humans didn't light fires accidentally in more areas than they should have. A lot of these fires do come from humans lighting them. So, I mean, I hope to encourage people this year to be careful with your campfire. Please, 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 please.
Well, and what's interesting, though, Madeline, even though, you know, we didn't have big fires in Idaho last summer, we had so much smoke. I mean, it was hot, and we had smoke from all of the wildfires, which I wonder played a part in us not having as many wildfires because you couldn't really go outside.
I mean, it's a little complicated. Absolutely, yeah. The smoke was a big factor here, and it will continue to be a big factor, likely year over year. But that said, we have all these like people that went out last year to go recreate in the smoke anyway because they were all cooped up from the pandemic. So we had, you know, banner seasons for some of these camping locations. And so people were going out even with the smoke, even though it was unhealthy at times. So it's like it's a little bit of some people might have been kept inside because of the smoke, but plenty of people still went out. Mm-hmm.
So at this point, we are under extreme risk here in Idaho, and I would say the Mountain West. We just don't know what that's going to look like.
Right. We don't know if that's going to mean we're going to see massive wildfires yet. We do have crews that are, you know, firefighters that are ready to go, that are hired. There are areas where there's not enough of them, but Chief Randy Moore with the Forest Service at least said for that agency, they are looking into contracts to get people ready now because fire season is among us.
All right, before I let you go, I have to ask, what was it like to stand there as that giant plane flew over you and then it dropped the red liquid? I mean, literally right in front of you.
Well, it was actually because it was training. It was just water. They weren't dropping the actual retardant, but it was really cool. I think just like feeling the giant plane come in and just having that kind of curtain of water come down and it just like dissipates into these tiny little just like balls of water across. It's really cool. It's really interesting. I highly recommend people go watch the video of it that I put on the web version of this story.
Well, Madeline, as always, it is so great to have you in to talk to us about this. And yes, fingers crossed for a not so massive wildfire season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. We've been talking with Mountain West News Bureau reporter Madeline Beck about a special group of aerial firefighters who will likely be really busy once again this summer. Up next, we're going to find out about another group of firefighters on the job this year. They, though, have 4 feet, and they're kind of fluffy. We'll explain when we come back.